Yeah. Welcome back, Quality Timers. It's me, Eric Woodworth, sitting here by my lonesome self. No Kimberly Ambrose, no Jeremy Woodworth, just good old-fashioned E giving you the intro to this very special bonus episode of Quality Time. Anyway, just wanted to give a quick reminder, if you're on the Stitcher or the iTunes, drop us a 5-star rating and we'll read it on the show. I know I say this a lot. Because like the 5-star ratings help us out in the giant mechanism of corporate run sponsors and all this stuff in the podcast world. I don't know what I'm talking about. Apparently they help us like climb lists and shit. So it's important that you do that. Plus, if you just make a 5-star rating, you could like plug your own shit. You could just shit on us. Although guys, be nice. Listen, I realize I have a very tough exterior and I carry a certain persona around, but inside, you know, I have feelings. I have feelings and they get hurt sometimes. So, you know, be gentle when it comes to just shitting on me, okay? And that being said, get on there, you fucking cucks, and give us a 5-star rating so we can read it. So it'll be fun. Do it. And then I don't know, throw us a like on Facebook. Is Facebook still a thing? Is Facebook dead? Should we even be using it anymore? I don't know. Post on our Facebook page and let us know if Facebook is dead or not. Anyway, what you're about to hear is a very special bonus episode. It's me, Patrick Melton of the Nobody Likes Onions podcast, and Thomas Simbazo, my very good friend from the Laugh Finder podcast, and myself from Djibouti, Africa. We were on tour in the Middle East. We're going to share some stories that are pretty fucking good. So strap yourselves in, enjoy. And without further ado, I present to you the special episode, the bonus episode, Quality Onion Finder.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches. Quality time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches.
Hey everybody, we're here in beautiful Djibouti, Africa.
That's an adjective.
Just Us Comics. Tommy Simbazo and Eric Woodworth.
Hi.
And I think we're putting this out. I'm just going to give this file to everybody. We can all do whatever we want.
Just throw in
your bonus shows.
What is this show called? What are we?
Quality Onion Finder Show.
The Quality Onion Finder Show?
Yeah. No, fuck Rob. He's not here.
Okay, the Quality Onion Finder.
Rob Mayer's also on this trip. He's sleeping.
Because he's an old
very
man.
Delicate boy.
That fucking tired cuck.
Tiny arms.
Scott.
He's in this room cucking it up.
We're here in Djibouti, Africa, after a long tour. I was going to podcast a couple times on the tour. We've done nothing.
No.
But our days, to be fair to us, have been pretty...
pretty packed.
Pretty packed.
We've seen several medical facilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of ambulance tours.
We've seen, like, every patient first on base that you can possibly see.
Yeah. And the reason we're calling it the Quality Laugh Finder Show is, Tommy, you do a podcast.
Yeah, we do. It's a group of 5 comedians and an NPR radio announcer and an in-studio sound effects guy. We play Dungeons & Dragons. And it's called Laugh Finder.
So, like, when something happens in the game... the guy's hitting sound effects?
Yeah. But it could be weird stuff. Oh, here comes Jeff.
Here comes Jeff. Yeah, everybody acts normal.
Chill.
You got to talk to the microphone, Tommy. You can't turn your head away from it.
I know. I should know how microphones work. Hey, everybody. This is Jeff.
Jeff's not
Hey, what up, everybody?
Oh, Jeff talked.
Jeff's on here.
We'll just loop that constantly.
Jeff from San Diego.
Jeff from San Diego.
Whale's vagina.
Jeff's been our MWR, which stands for medicine... reconnaissance.
Yeah,
like raps, the raps you
like
eat,
like a Caesar wrap or buffalo chicken, what have you.
Jeff is here with us. We're in Djibouti. Rob's asleep. We've already. So you do the podcast. You do Quality Time podcast.
Yeah, I do the Quality Time podcast with my Kimberly Ambrose and my mentally deranged brother, who hasn't been committed in a while. But this, you know, like sometimes people say, "Oh, we got a crazy guy." No, legit. He's been.
in and out of the hospital before.
He's a little off-kilter.
He's a little off. He dresses as Pogo the Clown. We talk about horror movies and pulp and stuff like that, and it's pretty fun. Good time.
If you hear wind in the background, it's because we're in beautiful Djibouti, where, you know, the winter weather.
Beautiful downtown Djibouti.
Yeah.
Downtown Djibouti. Double D's, they call it. And
this is not hot as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the temperature you usually get up to, like, in the summer months?
The summer get up to about 120 degrees.
Oh, wow.
120 degrees.
90% humidity.
We found the bad cape.
So after your deployment here, Jeff, you go back to Bahrain?
That is correct, yes. I go back to Bahrain.
Do you like that better?
Yeah, Bahrain's cool, but Djibouti is very interesting here, and it's a whole other level here, and the community is great to work for. So,
do you ever leave the base? Like, do you get off the base and do anything? Is there nothing worth doing here?
Go off base sometimes with designated liberty trips that have been vetted. So
they said that
in Bahrain you can go out in town and do your thing. So
right.
it's a lot different. It's good to have a break from Bahrain as well, though.
Is it cool to like go out into Africa and see like organic like
Africans?
Homegrown black people?
Oh my God. I like it when you can pick them fresh right off the tree. Right,
yeah,
guys?
Organic free-range blanks.
No comment.
Is that cool? Or
he works for Uncle Sam. He didn't say that.
Well, I was just curious. I'm very much into that.
We do have some stories. Eric and I had a layover in Kenya. Well, we all had a layover in Kenya.
Yeah, I filled out the paperwork like you guys did on the plane, but I got the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And I backed down.
And Tommy, you did the right thing. I was terrified.
I was keenly aware of how nervous you were, but I didn't know what you were seeing behind me.
Yeah. So
you didn't know a hand signal to let me know.
Gosh. So you guys, how long did it take?
I just tried to drink through it.
How long did it take you guys to get through?
We should explain. If you look at a map and you look at a flight from like Abu Dhabi where we were to here, and if you were to get a direct flight, I think it's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we chose a scenic route. Where we flew 20.
Well, there's only two flights coming out of that airport per day.
No, only on Sundays.
On Sunday,
It's one of those, like, this airport, I guess, is like one of those where, like, the flights are different every day. They're not, like, a set. Like, on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, there's certain flights, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays.
Jeff, Sundays, it's like Chick-fil-A at that airport. You only get the two options.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to
Don't ask for Polynesian sauce.
No. From Bahrain to here by plane.
It's not bad at all. I think it's only about 4 hours.
Yeah. So if you flew direct, it'd be great. 4 hours.
We had a 5-hour flight into Nairobi, where we had a 9-hour layover.
5-hour flight to Nairobi, 9-hour layover, then a late night flight to Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Where Ethiopian airport's pretty rough.
Well, we stayed on the plane
because it was only an hour.
We kept the windows up, locked all the doors.
It's almost like the airports over here, they don't build them. They didn't think about like how people are going to get on and off. Oh, all the buses, the shuttling you to the planes and back. And
I've walked on a plane like a president so many times.
No jetways. Jetways feel like a luxury at this point. Yeah. Like walking from a building into a plane, that doesn't happen very much. Even in Europe, like I've noticed that. Like maybe because there's so many flights, they have to just park them out in the middle.
It happens in the Middle East a lot, Jeff said.
Park them out on the tarmac, bus them out.
Yeah.
And that adds like an hour, but getting on and off.
So,
and the worst part is like every time they take us out there, and they have like nobody's ever like gotten on one of those stairways and like chased down, like saying, "I love you, get off the plane."
Love is dead.
I like to stand at the top and turn around like Nixon, put peace signs up and say, "I'm not a crook."
So on the way from Ethiopia, from Djibouti to Kenya, they gave us the visa paperwork. And you guys, we all filled it out, but you guys decided that you weren't set. Which, at first, I thought, man, they had the right idea because the terminal that we landed, it was just a hot tin roof.
It was so hot.
Yeah.
They were cranking heat in the Kenyan terminal.
Yeah, because it wasn't hot enough.
I don't understand.
So tell me, what was it like getting your visas?
So we stood in line first, and then when we got close enough, I saw a sign that said, the cost for visas would be $50 US, $40 Euro, £30.
Yeah. And we had done the math. We're like, $50
we're
to go see this.
$50
no way.
To go out.
Yeah, for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, sweet. Now I don't look like a bitch because I went and at least tried. We'll turn back and it'll all be fine.
But by that point, we had waited in line like 45 minutes and we were three away from the counter. And I was like, let's just wait and get up there and talk to them and see what's up. Somehow we negotiated down to $20.
I mean, that's red flag number one. We bartered for visas.
Yeah, how do you negotiate a government process?
Put it in front
of your
mouth.
How do you negotiate a government process?
$20, not a big deal. Yeah, you can do it for $20. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so they let us go for $20. And I'm glad we did. We got the coolest visa, the coolest Kenyan visa.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It looks almost like...
It's a full sticker
stamp.
Like
colorful money that's been... pressed into your visa, into your passport.
There's a freaking jaguar on it, and a lion. It's like the whole cast of the Lion King.
Yeah, no, it was worth
and
it.
And it takes
That's
up a full
cool.
page. It's a pretty badass visa.
It's a pretty
visa.
Cool visa stamp. So we go out into Kenya, and, you know, I like to have an open mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, Eric likes to make jokes about black people. I'm open to visiting them in their natural environment and hanging out. But I don't know if I can... I don't know how to say that... I don't know how to say anything good about Kenyan people after everyone we've met.
Well, the first person we met was that guy outside who wanted to be our tour guide, right? Who wanted he offered us $100. He was for $100, I'll take you around the city.
He's like, "What I'll do? I'll take you into this." We said we wanted to shop and we wanted to eat. Basically, we just wanted to hang out and see Nairobi.
Yeah.
And he's like, "We'll take you to feed giraffes. You'll get some photos. Take you to a great restaurant called... You guys like meat?" And I was like, "Look at us."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'll take you to this restaurant called Carnivore." I ended up...
"We'll take you to feed giraffes. Hey, do you guys like to eat giraffe?"
"Hey, can you take me to the restaurant that sounds like a horror movie?" "Oh, Carnivore. That sounds fun."
And,
what a blast.
You could have gotten a human steak probably at Carnivore.
I would try a little human.
I wouldn't lie. I would do it. When in Nairobi.
Yeah.
He's like, "I'll take you to like some shopping and I'll take you around." And I'm like, "I don't know if we want like to pay a guy to hang out with us all day. We don't really have a plan. We kind of just want to go into the city and walk around and do our thing." I should have left my backpack with you guys. We both should have. I don't know why
we didn't love to lug that around for 9 hours.
I carried around my MacBook Pro, which is 6 months old. It cost over $3,000. I had $700 cash. I had my passport.
You had our visa paperwork.
All of our visa paperwork for coming into Djibouti. Like, if that would have gotten lost, it would have just been a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then we just decided to take that out into a strange land.
That's the last thing you should have done.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you should have done. I wouldn't have done that in San Diego.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's how comedians think about things. It's like, we'll get a story or a joke out of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy,
and here
did
we are. And here we are.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we're talking to this guy, and then we neither one of us had cash, so we were like, he tried to go to the ATM. I think your card got locked down because you didn't put
Kenya. They wouldn't let me take money out of the ATM.
Hey, you know what?
So
what
I Venmo'd
BB&T.
Oh,
thank you, BB&T.
Your wife was right. Well, your card is stolen.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Your wife's going to see the she's like, "What the fuck,
what the
Eric?
Shit is
we
this?
Should, we
Eric,
should yeah. reference what we're talking about.
Eric got yelled at. For,
the minute we got to Kuwait.
Yeah, we got to Kuwait. What did you use your credit card for?
I don't remember.
Burger King.
Burger King. He gets, the next time he's talking to his wife, like moments later, he's like, "Hey, honey, we made it. Everything's fine." She's like, "There was an odd charge," and like she ate him
it's
out.
It's an odd charge. Yeah. A charge for Burger King in the place where I'm at.
She ate him out.
She was very concerned.
I'm not changing the way I worded that. She tore into him.
She ate his
She
balls.
Assumes like the second you swipe a credit card overseas that
it's
been exposed.
Stolen.
It's already stolen.
Like there's
it's
skimmers
already,
on every ATM.
I'm 100% sure that we'll cancel all of the cards the second
Are
I get home.
Are you serious?
She's going to do
I
that.
I wouldn't doubt
100%
that.
As soon as I get back.
All these cards have fraud protection. You're not going
to
wait for something.
Look,
Eric
knows this.
She's a
you
financial.
You have to reason with Tracy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. She's
his wife.
That's the broad I bang.
I made a goof.
He cucks.
I fuck.
Sky cuck.
So we got eaten up for that. So my card wasn't working
terminal. I love the logic. It's like, hey, there's been a weird charge. Right where you're at, someone bought Burger King.
Yeah. Eric, I know that you're so health conscious. Someone purchased Burger King.
I know that's what I do when I steal a credit card. I head it right out to the king.
I know you usually get chicken fingers, but this was a Whopper. Was this you?
It was in Amsterdam.
Answer me.
Are you being held under blink at me, honey.
I would have called and been like, "You haven't eaten at Burger King yet. Is something wrong?"
My husband hates Burger King.
She probably
King.
Didn't believe there was a Burger King in Kuwait.
Yeah. Well, there isn't. There's a Burger King.
Yeah,
they don't have a G in Arabic, so they can't
Burger
say
King.
They're Burger Kings.
Okay, so where did you eventually
okay,
get a cab
so we,
from?
So we finally get through, and I was glad we did.
Well, we bartered
like,
with that guy, and we were like, he was like, "Okay, well, we do this and that." And
even before that, I didn't want to go back in and admit defeat to you guys.
Yeah.
I was like, "Let's get out."
Yeah.
Because if we don't do this, we have to go back with our heads hung low. And
yeah,
be
because
like,
at this
we'll
point,
just wait in the terminal with you guys.
At this point, it was a race to see who had a better time
right.
between yeah. the two groups.
Right, and I still think we did.
It was good.
Listen, I spent $37 and
Kenya.
Got drunk.
We have.
From hearing the stories, it sounds like I went to high school in Kenya.
Your high school is weird. So, yeah, so we're bartering with this guy. We tell him we don't really want a fixed schedule thing. That
yeah,
we,
just
now,
drop us off somewhere.
Now
that's
like,
what
just,
we want.
Yeah, take us to the city center. I heard there was, I did some research online on the flight. I purchased on the flight from Abu Dhabi to Kenya. They had a data plan available for the Wi-Fi on the plane. And it was like 5 megabytes for 30 minutes for $5. And I was like, 5 megabytes? How much? I loaded one web page and then it said, you've used your data. You don't realize how much these.
What
like,
a deal.
What is this, an animated GIF?
Yeah. I literally hit back to the Google search and clicked another result and it was like, you're out of data.
So what did
I think
you find
your phone's
out before?
Doing shit in the background. Like yeah. it's downloading yeah. and uploading yeah. photos and shit.
All your apps are updated at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, of course. So we get out. We're negotiating with a guy. We're like, hey, just take us to the city. How much for that? And he's like 2,500 Kenyan shillings,
okay.
which is about
it's
$25.
Like $25.
Okay. It's 100
very
to the
easy exchange rate.
Yeah, a Kenyan
what's
shilling
the exchange rate in Bahrain, Jeff?
Shit, like point. I forgot.
Isn't it
I think
like,
it's like
one
2.7 or something?
For one, 2.75 or something like that. I was rounding everything up to like 3.
Yeah, it's about 3. You rounded to 3. Yeah, yeah. It's like 2.76.
Yeah. So yeah. their Burger King dollar menu, it costs about $3 for a burger.
Yeah. The
and
2.90
their happy hour
menu.
Is like, you know, is $7
yeah.
for a beer.
Yeah. It made no sense. Yeah. But then so he's like 2,500. We're like, okay, I run in to get cash. The minute I walk in the door to get cash, this actually pretty hot black chick.
Yeah,
because she's Kenyan.
A Kenyan chick.
Comes up.
She looked like Storm Kenya.
She, by the way, she was, I'll get to this in a second. There's so many stories. I'm going to the ATM. She stops me. She's like, do you need a ride? I'm like, well, we want to go into the city center because I had found this online on the one webpage I was allowed to load. That there on Sundays only, which was the day we were traveling, there's like a market, like uh-huh. booths, you know, like a big flea market in the middle of the city. I'm like, that'd be cool. We can just yeah. walk around, eat, and shop a little bit. Yeah, and she's like, okay, what are you looking for? I'm like, ride to the city. She's like, 1,500. And I'm like, well, that's significantly less.
Yeah.
So I buy it from her on the spot. And now we have to go back outside where this guy's going to be furious.
Oh, yeah. He's waited 45 minutes. Because we went in and had coffee.
Oh, yeah,
we waited around.
Yeah, we went into a coffee shop. And because they had free Wi-Fi, and then we had a coffee, which was probably the most delicious coffee I've had of the trip.
God, it was good. They gave us
really
simple
good.
Syrup to go with it. I mean, it would have fucking
so
sent you into a diabetic coma.
This guy's time during prime scamming.
Well,
hours.
He mobbed yeah. us. You know, it yeah. was like it's like a sea of guys out there waiting to like mob tourists yeah. or whatever, or white people, because they were leaving everybody black alone, and we were the only white. I mean, we were the only white people.
Yeah,
like, that's not an exaggeration.
It was fun to be the belle of the ball.
I honestly don't remember seeing.
No, there was that one white lady
that almost made
out with that guy
oh,
on
that
the plane.
That was a very strange interaction.
So weird.
Oh,
they made eye contact for like what, like
they,
a minute.
They
straight?
They looked at each other while we were landing in heavy turbulence because all of us were like, yeah. ha, ha. And they were. I swear to God, he said, "I like your skin color." She was white. He was black. And she goes, "I really like yours." And then they didn't talk again for 2 minutes, but stared at each other. And I'm like, "Are you guys gonna kiss?"
I swear they could hear them.
It
like,
was
this
very
magic
weird.
Moment.
And she was a good 25 years older than him. It was very odd.
I should have leaned in. I was like, "Does anyone like my skin color?"
How many people on your guys' flights didn't sit in their seats? Is that a thing that you guys have seen since you've been out here? Like since I got out into this
yeah.
region taking flights,
around?
Nobody sits in their seats that they're assigned to when you get on the plane.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
you
we
just move around.
So how many?
To find empty rows.
But is this where like you're waiting 30 minutes to get off the runway because someone needs to swap seats back and is in the wrong seat?
No. We wait till we're in the air and then we're like, there's an empty row.
Well, yeah, but yeah. like I've always seen that. It's like they just purposely go to the wrong. To the wrong seat, and then there's a whole commotion and arguing, and then you wait 30 minutes longer. But I was just wondering if you guys saw that. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice at all. I think you're just being
no. There was nothing like that.
Overly sensitive and maybe a bit racist. Yeah.
Our flight from Bahrain.
Yo, why do black people be sitting in different chairs all the time?
Jeff,
am I
please.
Right?
Our flight from Bahrain to Abu Dhabi is probably the worst flight I've ever been on. There's a lot of cultural stuff. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently deodorant is one of them.
Yeah.
It was full of Indian people, and this this plane smelled.
It did.
I'm sorry. Worse than I've ever. Like, it
had
was
an
just
odor that was being pumped in through the nozzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the plane was manufactured by BOing. It was bad. I mean, it was really bad. And then these guys were all in a row together, so they were next to each other. I was next to two Indian guys that didn't speak English at all. And this one guy, he starts doing this halfway through the flight. He puts his pinky in his ear and starts just wiggling it around. And flakes start coming out. And I'm like, all right. And then all of a sudden, I smelled the worst thing I've ever smelled in my life. It smelled like medical waste. And I realized that he had popped something in his ear. And now, for the next 30 minutes of the flight, it was only like a 50-minute flight. Yeah. Then the rest of the flight, this pus is dripping out of his ear onto the shoulder closest to me.
Oh God! It's like
as
that,
if he didn't reek
like
enough.
The tow truck driver in Harold and Kumar.
It was really bad.
I heard everything you said.
It was really fucking bad, man.
Okay, so the beautiful woman.
Okay, so she.
All right,
Ladies,
see you later, Jeff.
Give it up for Jeff and the MWR.
Thanks, Jeff.
Djibouti. Shake your booty when you walk away.
Oh, he did it.
So
hot.
So I think he came out just to do a content check.
Oh,
to make
yeah,
sure
yeah,
we're not
yeah.
giving away military
then
secrets.
We called him racist and he ran
so
away.
Now the missiles are located. So I buy this thing off her. She walks me out. I go, this guy's going to be so mad. She's like, I'll take care of it.
Meanwhile, you've left me with him the whole time. And all he's doing is eyeing up my fucking kidneys.
Yeah, well, the first thing we did when we got out was smoke. And the guy started like, come on, get in the car. And we're like, we're just chilling, man. We're trying to get our bearings. And he waited on us. We were his mark.
Yeah,
and he
yeah,
had us.
Yeah.
Other people tried to come up and talk to us. He would like.
He could already see your walking dollar sign.
Yeah, of course.
This is my sheet.
Yeah. So we come out with her. We're like, and I'm like, I bought it off her. She's giving it for 15. He's like, I would have do for 20. I'm like, that's still more.
Damn it, yes. I forgot how nervous was.
Shit, you beat me again.
So he was mad. We walk away with her. She was really cool. So we were waiting. She walked us out to the curb where her guy was coming to pick us up. We had already paid, gotten a receipt from a real company. So at least it felt like, okay, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
While we're waiting on the car, this bitch is taking her phone, which is like a little flip phone.
Yeah.
And she's just rubbing her nipple with it at me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, what is happening?
What?
It was very weird. She was turned away from you. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw a little bit.
But it was very erotic. So then we come. She get in the car. She tries to start selling us a ride back. Like, when you need a ride back, you pay me now. We'll come get you. I'm like, no, I'm not paying you now for anything.
Yeah.
But we did get her number because it seemed like a reliable taxi company or whatever. So we're like, we'll take the number and we'll call you when we get back. I didn't have international data. You guys haven't had international data anywhere.
Yeah, my phone hasn't been on this whole
time. But mine's worked everywhere except Africa.
I accidentally turned mine on at one point. I don't know what happened.
Your wife is
coming.
You're going to have to sell your phone.
Oh, boy. Just leave me in Chicago. I'm going to Chicago
with
you.
Wait until your wife finds out that you turned your phone on.
Oh, boy.
Now they have all of our names, Eric.
Now they have our numbers. We need new phones.
So we think we have it. Like, we're getting a ride to the city center. This should be easy. But it wasn't. The guy keeps wanting to take us to eat. He's like, you go eat, and then you come out 40 minutes. Like, he's going to wait for us while we eat. I looked up this carnivore restaurant. It's $70. So I'm like, we're not doing that.
What kind of food do you
just
get?
Just goat and bugs.
Oh. Slimy yet satisfying.
Yeah. We have all the beetles.
How many times did you say you heard Hakuna Matata?
When we get into
everyone
the city.
Says Hakuna Matata nonstop, and it's not even
like,
funny to
American,
them.
American, Hakuna Matata, and they're like, ha, 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 the first time, and then you're like, okay, I get it. This is how they get us in.
That wasn't the vibe I got. I thought they were genuinely saying Hakuna Matata.
No.
That's actually what they say, you think?
Yeah.
No
think
way.
No, 100%.
That is not really a thing that they do. That is them realizing we're American.
Real? Are you really? I got a totally different vibe
play.
Off it.
That's their play against us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. There's no way they walk around with Pumbaa and Timon fucking repping the Lion King.
By the way, Timon. That's like, hey, thanks, Pumbaa. Okay, so this guy, This guy's taking you. How'd you get him to take
you
into the city?
So then he starts, he's like, go here. Like, where do you want to go? And I'm like, just somewhere to eat and shop. He's like, okay, we go somewhere to eat. You guys eat. Then we'll go somewhere to shop. I go, no, we want to be dropped off in one place that we can walk around, shop, and eat. And he's just like,
This is like such a foreign idea.
Yeah, apparently
they
doesn't
never
exist here.
Yeah, he's probably like, how can I get money out of them if I do?
Yeah, he did. They all wanted, like, to book tours. And
yeah, you went to the country that is the living embodiment of
and
a
then
Nigerian
we started
Prince
getting
game.
We started
yeah.
getting the idea that the more we tell them, like, we shouldn't tell them when our flight is, we shouldn't tell them when, how long we're here for, like, all this information that comes out to them over hours can be pieced together to fuck us.
Yeah.
Like, like at one point, literally, well, I'll get to this guy. We should do everything chronologically.
Yeah, we'll keep
going. So we finally see an area and we're like, just drop us here. This is great.
Yeah, it looks like the town. It looks like the city center of Nairobi. Mm. There's lots of people out and around.
What are the buildings like? Is it like concrete? Is it brick?
It's like a concrete jungle for the most part.
Okay. It looks like downtown. Fucking Benghazi. I mean, it is bombed out place. It's just weird.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine a nice city that you just stopped giving a fuck about.
Here's a little hint. On the drive there, there were just 600 cows walking down the road. No fence.
The cow population in the city was so strong that it was unbelievable. You'd walk past a bank and there's like 8 cows outside. Like, it's fucking nuts.
Well, they had in Baltimore, one cow got out of a slaughterhouse and roam the streets, and the whole city shut down. They were like, holy shit, there's a fucking cow.
No, that's just Wednesday in Kenya.
Yeah. Sunday. But we, then the guy starts saying, as he's dropping his stuff, like, you leave your bags. You leave your bags here. I'll come pick you up later. Like, you're not going to go through our shit.
We're cool.
What fucking world? And we're both hugging our bag, like, this is not, they wanted us to put them in the trunk. We're like, we're not doing that. None of that shit. Like, we're not dumb.
Yeah.
And we're both big guys. So, I mean, at this point, I wasn't worried about much other than I thought maybe there's a language barrier. Like, you don't understand what we want. Were you nervous at this point?
Yeah. I was. My nerves set in as soon as I realized we have no plan. We have no exit strategy. We have nothing. We're just like, I'm more nervous because I have no cash to get out of any situation. Like, I'm so uncomfortable that I have no money on me. That, like,
you think I don't got your back, Daddy?
Well, I know you. I feel like I have no control over the situation. Like, I can't bribe
anybody.
Like,
we were
going to
be robbed via Venmo. Like, you better transfer me everything. It's not like you can, like, when you go, like, if somebody walks up to you at an ATM and they're just like, you can only get out a max amount. Venmo, you could empty your fucking account to the guy and he can sit there and make you. I don't think they have Venmo. They have M-Pesa.
Thank goodness.
But, okay, so we get out.
And you
start walking around, right?
And we check out some of the shit.
Again, we start smoking. Yeah. Like, I light up a cigarette, we're walking around.
I'm vaping up a storm. I'm putting out big clouds.
We go a couple blocks, we see a Japanese restaurant, there was some bar and grill, we're trying to figure out, like, where we should eat, and we're next to this market
area. I'm singing
area.
Georgie Girl in my head a little bit to stay calm.
But we're being eyeball fucked heavily by everyone anywhere.
And I think part of that is, like, we're the only white people in the country, right now. We stick out like a sore thumb, right? Yeah.
There should have been a cobweb above us that said, some pig.
We should have done blackface to just, you know, blend in and as like active camo.
So this guy,
not to be racist, just to blend in.
So I'm like halfway done with this cigarette. This guy comes up, and we walked a couple blocks, and he goes, you can't smoke in public? What are you doing? First of all, I love these places that are, as Trump would say, shitholes.
Yeah.
Who come up with these crazy rules? Like, you
no
can't
smoking
drink,
on the street.
You can't smoke.
Yeah,
it's
women
like,
can't drive.
Yeah, that's where you guys should start.
Yeah.
So, this guy, basically tells us to put out the cigarette. We put it out.
So
like,
I freak out. I'm like, oh shit, nobody told us we get. Like, there's no signs anywhere that say this or anything. And he's like, your cab driver should have told you. And I'm like, I don't think he was a cab driver.
So we decide to follow this guy, who we'll just call the tour guy.
Well,
he says,
I'll take you to a bar with an outdoor seating area, food, and you can smoke. And we're like, all right,
let's do it.
But he starts walking. I mean, we walked probably four or five
blocks
and we're
right?
at some point I'm like, where are we going?
And I'm looking at every corner like, well, this is the alleyway where five or six people come and attack us every second. I'm like,
this alley
I'm not
looks
sure
like
where he's leaving
the last place
us.
You were seen. And but also the whole city looks like that, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not freaking out at this point. I'm like, this guy clearly want. I knew he wanted money.
Yeah.
I knew there was some scam. And sure enough, he pulls out a brochure and he starts talking to us. He's like, I sell safaris. Do you want to go on a safari? And that's when we're like, you know, we're only here for a couple hours. We have a flight tonight.
By the way, he has one brochure, which is really funny. He has one brochure that's folded up like 20 times. It's just sweat riddled. There's notes all over
it. He's like, this is my
handwritten dollar amount.
This is my company, but he has one brochure.
Yeah.
And it's also printed on like an Epson inkjet. You know what I mean? Like, you see the printer lines. He's added pages with tape. You know, he's like, oh, you'll see this monkey. And it's like, that's
not
even part of
marketing to pass the savings on to you.
Not even a brochure. Like, this is just something you ripped out of a matchbook. And, okay, there's the first fart of the podcast. Eric,
lit it up.
First of many.
Lit it up.
He makes it clap.
Yeah.
And so
we get into that bar, right? And the bar,
do you remember the name of the bar?
No, but it had Tusker all over the place.
Okay,
that's
Tusker is a locally brewed
lager. Yeah,
lager.
Their beer, and I will actually say the beer is very good.
Yeah, yeah,
very crisp.
It's only 4.5% alcohol, though.
Yeah, but that's what like a fucking whatever is in America.
And I'm a little bit easy when we get here because we sit down. It's a restaurant and it's outdoor seating. And they stick us over in the corner.
Was it like a TGI
There's another
Friday?
White person there.
Well,
so
here's
I'm like,
was
right,
like flare
cool.
on the walls or anything. Or
no, it was
like a fenced in area, but with like tarps and banners and ads. Like you would see it at any outdoor bar area, like Bud Light banners or something.
Yeah,
like
you go to
banners.
Bamboo Bernie's is what it looked like inside.
So, but it's also enclosed. But outdoor stage area, outdoor bar, like kind of an island tiki type bar. Like, it was fine. I was like, all right, we'll chill here and drink some beers. Here's where my dumb white ass, like, we walk in. I'm wearing sunglasses. Everybody stops. It's almost like the scene in Twister.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, anybody ever seen an F5? And they all drop their forks and go, finger God. You know that fucking moment? Like, we walk in and, like, a record scratches in the distance. Like,
the piano player in the corner stops playing.
Yeah, like, collectively they gasp. And I walk in and at the first table, like, full of black people I see, I'm just like, hey. And they're just like. And as soon as I said that, they stood up like, oh, hey, what's going on? You friendly? And then my guy and the guy who we're walking with, which, by the way, we do not know his name.
We don't know. Travel
advisor.
We
spent 3 hours with this guy. We have no idea what his fucking name was. I have his card somewhere, but I think he has way more information about us than we have about him. I'll tell you that. And I mean all of us, because he has all of our shit.
Oh, yeah, we gave him all your... I was Tommy Cimbazzo to him. I hope that's okay.
Oh, that's fine.
So I'm walking through, and then there's a woman sitting alone, like a younger woman, and she's stink-eyeing us.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else seems pretty, like, happy and like, oh, hey.
So the way it's set up, too, I'm sitting, and I got my back against, like, the back of this tent, so I can see everybody.
Yeah.
And Patrick can really only see...
I'm facing you and the guy we're sitting with.
Facing me and the guy, and so he can't see all the tables behind us, right?
Eyeball fucking the shit out of us.
There's a table of this one lady, and she is just stink-eyeing the fuck
like
bad,
like
Patrick.
It's just like, what the fuck
did I
do? She's
looking him up and down. She gets back on her phone. She's looking him up and down. Just
I felt it because I turned a couple times going like, oh. Like, I felt her like staring.
Yeah. And then there's a German guy that showed up and sat to our right, and he, you know, we talked to him for a little bit.
But the guy we were with would get very upset when we talked to the German.
Yeah, he didn't like that we were talking to the German
guy. By the way, he didn't like us talking to anybody else. What we quickly figured out was, he was keeping other scammers and people away from us. It was kind of the devil you know situation.
Yeah.
This guy was keeping everyone away from us because we were his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were his pretty.
Yeah, he was feeding your kidneys.
And also we found out that nobody has long facial hair in Kenya unless you're a politician or some sort of militant.
Yeah.
Like, so you're either a fighter, as I said, a fighter, or a politician.
So Patrick looked pretty badass.
So, I mean, people were coming up to me on the street later when we were walking and just, like, petting my beard, going like, oh, I like your beard. Like, apparently it's crazy.
You should have started
They would have gone ape shit for you. Like, circus? You in a circus?
We showed him a picture of, we pulled out the business card that has all our faces on it, and they immediately looked at Tommy Cimbazzo's picture. He's like, this guy, he's a wrestler? Yes? Like WWE wrestler?
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, he is a wrestler, actually.
Yeah.
And also, wrestling is real, and he knows how to wrestle. And we'll send him any minute to come and rescue
us. He's in my backpack. I think you relaxed a little bit at this point.
I was good. I had a couple of beers, and I'm starting to, like, get kind of, I'm relaxed a little bit.
You realize we're not in any immediate danger, at least. And we're in public. There's a lot of people around, so we're not.
This is the thing. Chill, we're sitting here chatting with him, and him and Patrick are having just the time of their lives. I'm giving like one or two word responses just because I'm a little uneasy.
But I can see that on you. And I, like, every time we're kind of alone, I look at you and I go like, "You okay?
I'm freaking out.
But you said like, "No, I'm cool. I'm cool.
And
but
at
like
the same time,
panicky tone.
I'm battling with my own white guilt. Like maybe I'm just being racist because all these black people are staring at me. You know, I'm just looking different. And maybe I just need to calm down. I keep telling myself that. But then I look over and this table, like five dudes are just sitting mugging us.
Not yet.
Oh, God.
The one guy comes alone. So a few different groups approach our table. The one guy comes alone, a bigger guy, and we start talking to him. I just start talking to everybody. I ain't give a shit. Yeah. And as soon as I talk to him, our escort says, like something in African, and he goes and sits at another table nearby. But then he starts texting. And then our guy tells us that he's a very bad guy. Yeah. He doesn't trust him.
He does the
first
marijuana.
All, this guy doesn't.
And then Patrick answers, he's like, "Oh, I like marijuana." He's like,
and he's like,
"No,
oh, I get you some marijuana."
His mind has been broken.
Oh no! That was a different group. That was
but
a different
Jeff
group.
Sessions.
No, that was when the two guys came and sat with us.
Okay.
This is the bigger guy who was with the gang.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who tried
to
follow us at the end. Ugh. So,
spoiler alert.
He's texting, and then more people start showing up to his table. Two, three. Eventually, it was five or six guys. And I didn't see that building. You were watching that build.
You would have thought we had a fucking blood diamond at this point.
And his ass was so tight, we might have. Because of the hemorrhoids. We're having more beers. The beers are, like, sealed, so we don't think we're, like, being, like, drugged or poisoned or anything like that.
Yeah, he opens them in front of us.
Like, he opens them in front of us. They're bottled. Like, okay. And we're having fun, and he's telling us about his family. I start having flashes of, like, Total Recall, because he's like, "I got five kids." I'm like, "Oh, this is Benny from Total Recall." He's going to be like, "Benny's the name," as he's cutting us up. "I got three kids. I thought you said five." "Oh, whatever, man.
Man, I don't even have any kids.
Yeah, like, that's what I pictured. And then I start to realize, like, and we're telling him, by the way, we're comedians, we're broke, we don't have money. Mm-hmm. Like, even if we were there for days, we can't afford a safari. Here I am with a MacBook and $700 cash in my pocket. Also, I just gotten I just exchanged $100 for 10,000 Kenyan shillings. My pocket, I'm loaded. These guys make $10 a day. Ooh. So that's a week's pay.
Yeah.
And I realize he wants a little money, and also he's drinking beer and stuff. But the beers are $2.80, and I'm like, "Well, we'll buy him beers to sit and hang out with us."
Yeah, so we got that guy boozed up pretty good.
I gave away a pack of cigarettes in an hour. Like, people would come up to me wanting cigarettes, and I was like throwing it away like bread to ducks just to get them to go. Like, go get it. Like, and we taught him how to do the click, the crush cigarettes. He had never seen that before.
Yeah.
And his dumb thing, like, he sat there like squeezing it so hard and couldn't figure it out. I had to like put my fingers on his fingers like Ghost. Like, we were making clay together to get him to
finger so strong
to get him to click it. And when he did it, he's like, "Oh, that's nice." Like, he loved it. So we're okay with this guy. Again, it's the devil, you know. Like, at least he kind of, like, has invested in us a little bit now. And then he starts telling us, it's, aside from selling safaris, he also has a cab company.
Oh.
And he also wanted to...
He also wanted to take us to do open mic.
Yeah, he said, I'm friends with a comedian named Churchill. Yeah. He does a show at this place called Carnivore. And I'm like, "Oh, we've heard about that. It's $70 to eat."
Yeah.
And he's like, we bring the Carnivore.
Patrick is almost... He's almost sold on the fact we're going to go to do this. We're going to do a tight five at Carnivore.
Well, I said,
he's so sold on it. And I'm looking at him the whole time, just shaking my head like,
That is not what happened. He said it's at 6:30, and I go, "We wanted to be back at the airport by 7:30. Our flight was at 10:30. We could have realistically been back at 8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we were telling these guys all we need to be back earlier, just in case some shit happened. And I go, like, "Well, it's probably not near the airport and stuff." And then Eric's like, "No, it is near the airport. I saw where it was." You didn't do that?
No, it's not near here. I said, "The airport is here. This is here.
Ah,
okay.
I thought you were, like, advocating that it's close to the airport. We should go."
No, I'm advocating fleeing. I'm trying to find a way to this conversation that involves us getting into a safe vehicle and riding out.
So then he tells us, aside from, you know, being a comedy booker.
He's a comedy booker as well.
No, but he wanted the tickets there, and I was like, "Only."
Oh, we sold him the murder mystery. We're actually doing 3 days in Nairobi now.
He wanted us to take his cab. He has a cab while he's sitting here getting hammered with us. And he's like, I'll give you a ride back to the airport. Yada, yada. And then we told him what we paid, and he's like, ah, oh, that's too cheap. And eventually, these other two guys come up, and they are hanging out with us, and they want a cigarette, and I give them a cigarette, and they start... One of them sits down, and then this guy
gets
up.
They're young kids. They're they seem like they're
20, 22.
I was going to go like 16 to 18 is what they look like to me.
Well, when you told me kids earlier, I thought they were like 8 or 9.
No, these are, yes, we gave an 8-year-old a cigarette, Tommy. That's just how we roll.
Yeah.
Look, man, from the stories I'm hearing, it wouldn't have been that far out.
So he tells about his cab, and we're like, ah, we're not sure. We're probably going to walk around a little bit. My thought is this. This guy, he asked us if we had data on our phones. Do our phones work here?
Yeah.
Which is not a good question.
Yeah.
At all. Like, he asked him, and I was like, please say yes. Like, don't be like, no, we don't have any way to get a hold of anybody. You should just slice us up.
I'll call you. Don't worry. It works or whatever.
Because he goes, here, call this number. This is my cab driver, and he'll come take you guys. And I'm like, why don't you call it? And he's like, oh, I don't have my phone. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. And then he's like, my wife and my kids live back in my village. He's like, next time you guys come, I'm going to take you to my village. We'll take you out.
Oh.
And
you have a place to stay.
He goes, slaughter a goat.
And no, I go,
what?
We'll slaughter. And he puts his thumb across his neck like this. Goes, like that.
He
like,
said goat.
I don't really want to die.
He said goat.
I didn't hear goat at all.
Oh, he said goat in a way that sounded like throat.
Yeah.
He's like, come out, we slit our goat.
Yeah, yeah.
Crow.
We'll slit your throat.
We'll slit your
throat. And I was like, you'll slit our throat. And I thought I'd be like, yes, they love it, the tourists. And I'm like, where's your village? He's like, 3 hours. And I'm like, whoa. We're not doing that. You psychopath. Then he starts talking to us about the safari again. We're like, we don't want to do safari. I'm like, let me see that brochure. Because at this point, I want to know if it's his company.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, I work on commission, which I absolutely believe. Because everyone out there is hustling. It's hustle.
Yeah. Everybody see that side hustle.
Hustle place. And then these two young guys come, and they sit down. And as soon as they did that, he hopped up. I didn't see what happened. It was on your side.
So that guy's this kid is sitting right next to me.
He got
right?
between me and the guys and Eric. Yeah. So Eric saw all this.
He pulls up a chair to sit next to me, and I'm like, all right, great. The guy gets up. TripAdvisor gets up, and he gets face-to-face. He goes, and they're speaking in fucking native tongue.
Swahili?
It's like, if I were to translate what he said, it was, get your bitch punk ass up. These are my fucking peeps, or I'm going to fuck you up. I swear, I was getting ready to get out my cell phone so I could do like a selfie record because I thought he was going to slap the shit out of this kid. He was getting real heated with them.
So then those two guys get up and join the other table of like thugs that are gathering.
Yes.
And now we're like, what the fuck is up? And everyone, I'm not exaggerating when I say everyone in this bar, 50 people
they're
all looking
us.
At us, watching us. Yeah.
And there's another table of white people that there are just another, like, they give no shit to
that
us.
Other table's
so
probably
us.
Like, oh, thank God.
We're now the
of, like,
marks
three
now,
women
right?
And, three women and a guy, I
we're
think.
Looking
it
at,
was like,
we're looking at like a half dozen to a dozen people that are all seem like they know each other, are working in tandem,
and are constantly
and
texting,
us.
And more people are showing up. So they're like, you know, all synced by Bluetooth or some shit.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at bottles on the table, being like, if shit pops off, I'm going to throw this one at that guy's face. I'm going to whack this one over the head. And me and Patrick are going to make a break for it and find a cab.
I will say a Tusker bottle would make an excellent weapon.
They are hardy.
I actually, when
bottle.
It came by for the last round, I was like, no, it's all right. I want to keep my bottle like that. It was getting real, man.
So he was way more paranoid than I was. I was obviously way more chillax, but I didn't have the vantage point you had. And also, at some point, I did realize, like, we're kind of being, like, surrounded here.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ran to the bathroom. I watched your stuff. You came back fairly quickly, so I was like, all right.
You went to
the
bathroom by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go hard.
Okay.
And then, well,
I saw a white woman go up and do it, and I was like, I can do it, too. Me, too. So I got up and then took a piss all by myself.
And then I had to do the same thing, but I apparently went into the women's bathroom. Whoops. Mm-hmm. And I came out, and there were four people waiting for me. And they were like, you were in the women's. And people across the bar are laughing at me. And I'm just like, again, you're all watching me way too close. People I haven't even met are pointing and laughing at me. And then Eric's like, people behind you are pointing at you and texting and pointing at you and texting.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that's probably not good. And we move over to another area where they're like barbecuing shish kebabs and stuff. And it smells pretty good. And we decide we're going to just have or finish our drinks there. And then I told the guy, like, I told him, I'm going to give you $1,000. I'm going to give you $10 for helping us out and stuff today. Like, we're not buying anything off you. We don't need anything, but you have kind of like helped us, give us some advice, tell us smoking is not illegal, save me from a fine.
Because
he was saying police would grab us and shake us down. If they knew we had a flight tonight, they would hold us and try to make us miss our flight and all that kind of stuff. He said some cab drivers would even like just take us straight to the police station and be like a finder's fee for the shakedown.
Yeah.
So now we're paranoid as fuck about where to go. And my thought is like we should go get in a random cab. We shouldn't get in a cab with anybody who knows us or has seen us. But it's becoming increasingly difficult because they're all texting and we walk out of this place.
And then everyone follows us out.
Everyone
who is in the other room follows us out. And we start walking down the street this way, and we're like, fuck it.
The group
go
of
right
table,
back towards them
the
like
group
that.
Of tables, the group of table of thugs at the table start following along. Our guys following along. Random street beggars are following along. Like, we're the Pied Pipers of Blacks.
Yeah.
Like, you're starting a parade.
And we turn around. We're like, we don't want to be followed. Like, stop following us.
Yeah.
And then you see them start texting and stuff. And we would go a couple blocks, and then we see somebody else, and he'd see us, and he'd text. We go a couple more blocks, and we take random turns.
We keep seeing people that we've already seen. Like, they've already spread out around the block.
They are following us, but like, in a surveillance kind of way.
Oh, God.
And Eric's like, we should just jump in a cab. And I'm not jumping. Like, I know you're paranoid and scared of shit, but so am I. But my thought is we shouldn't get in a car with anybody who's around somebody we've seen. Like, this should not. Like, let's keep walking. Let's stay on busy streets in public areas.
Which is what we did.
Because they're just waiting for you guys to be on a turn, make the wrong turn. And then
And at first, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, it's going to be hard for me and Patrick to get abducted. We're big people. And then when I see enough of these little guys that can carry us off like it's Gulliver's fucking Travels.
Like ants.
I'm like, oh, my God. My anxiety's at an 11, a 12. I don't know how to explain it.
It went from fun, as much fun as we had, to being like, oh, shit.
Fuck.
And we have plenty of time. Time's not the issue. We're just like, God, if there was
somewhere
to sit.
No, the movie Taken is the issue. That's what's happening right now.
The movie Get Out is quickly becoming Get In. The trunk. And then.
Well, wait. Go back. I want to hear. So the guy told you about Obama.
Oh, yeah. They love. First of all, listen. He started off by saying he's like, we wanted Hillary Clinton. I was like, I'm not a big Hillary supporter. I'm not a Trump supporter either, I really don't like Hillary either. And I was just like, immediately when he said, we don't not like Donald Trump, I was like, fuck that guy. Yeah. I hate Donald Trump. We wanted Hillary, too. Nobody in the country wanted it. We don't even know how he did it.
We were immediately like, this is a test.
Yes. Oh, and then he said, we love Obama. You know, Obama is from Kenya, right? Like that. We were like, of course.
I love that. So he hates Trump, but he's a full-on birther.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, when you find out somebody from your home. Like, I grew up in Columbia, Maryland.
He's like,
and you know who lives in Columbia, Maryland for a very short period of time?
Who?
Edward Norton. So everywhere I go, I was like, home of Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Fucking Academy Award
winner.
Don't
say that in Kenya.
Don't say that.
If they'd probably seen American History X, they'll be like, no.
Oh, no.
No.
I will show you the way.
But he's like, Obama's father from here, Kenyan blood. And I'm like, you know, his father like took the fuck off.
Yeah.
His father wasn't a good man. And he's like, his grandmother still lives here. And I'm like, he doesn't. He got the fuck out.
Does he visit her? I don't think so.
Right.
So you're going through.
So we're
looking for a cab.
So we're walking, looking for a cab. We walk past this gas station where there's like just all these guys standing on a wall and stuff, and they're all like staring at us and then texting, and we're like, "Fuck! Like, where are we gonna get where we can be left the fuck alone?" And finally, we did. We got on a street where I don't think we knew anyone, and I was constantly looking back, making sure we weren't being followed, you know, making sure the sidewalk was clear. And then we would meet new guys. Then new guys started coming up.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Everybody,
hey, USA,
everybody's trying to
nice
do the
beard.
Same
That's
pitch.
When people started touching my beard.
And this is where it feels like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because you're meeting people that you haven't met, but they have the exact same pitch. Oh, you can't smoke on the street. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, where are you from?
Safari?
Are you going this? You want a safari? Hakuna Matata. I'm like, oh, my God, no.
Hakuna Matata all day from everyone we met. The whole time. Hakuna Matata, Hakuna Matata.
You just assume the next person you're going to run into, he's like, that's the person that calls you to tell Leatherface to come out with a goddamn ball peen hammer.
If anybody listening to my podcast, it can find out if that's a genuine thing or not. Or if they, like, I want to know.
So you
it
think,
could be one of these things Disney made up that's not even a thing.
I don't think it's a real saying in Kenya. I think
saw
they're
some
just saying it because they know we're Americans.
I saw some shirts in the airport that said Hakuna Matata.
They know we're American. I'm firm that it is
when
it's
he first
a trick
said, when
for
the
us.
First guy at the airport said it to me, I went, it means no worries.
He's like, not for the rest of your day.
It's like when I meet other foreigners, I'll ham up being an American. I'm like, well, howdy there, partner. I'm from America.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
I shoot guns all the time.
Whenever they held their hands out, we just squirted barbecue sauce into it.
Here's my life-giving ranch straight from the nipple.
So we get on this road. We see a couple taxis, and Eric goes, like, what about this one? I look in. The driver's on his phone, like, minding his own business, not looking around at all. And I'm like, perfect.
And the doors are closed, and we're like, tink, tink, tink.
He's got a taxi sign on his roof. We knock on his thing. We're like, go to the airport. And he drops the phone to me, like, oh, yeah. Like,
and
he
then
was looking.
You have 15? He goes, 16. We're like, deal.
You got us, Kenyan overlord.
So we get in, and this is the weirdest part.
This is crazy.
He gets out. He has a taxi sign on top of his thing. He takes it off and hands it to the guy around the corner, and we're like,
He walks like half a block away and starts talking to other guys, and I'm like, well, fuck. As soon as he starts talking to other guys, they're going to get worried about the two fat Americans who are sweet honeypots. and then I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
now we're talking battle plans. Honestly, me and Patrick are in the back now. We're like, all right, if we jack this dude, I think I can drive this car. Whatever we got to do.
We had a discussion. We're like, if this goes down, it's on.
Our first time that we went to Jordan in the airport before we left, I was like, Eric, just in case something pops off, if we got to get some, do you want to go? What do you want? Do you want to go low or you go high? And he was like, I'll go low. And I'm like, I'll go high.
Yeah,
so you, before even
the destabilizer.
Yeah,
so
the destabilizer, Eric Woodworth.
So I'm like, maybe we should just hop out of this right now while he's not in the car. And half of me didn't even want to pull the door handle to find out it was locked. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, let's find out later. And then he comes back, and I'm like, why did you, like, I'm not going to, like, play games. Why did you take that sign off? And he's like, oh, you go to the airport and they'll charge you for being a taxi. And I was like, I like that.
Yeah, okay.
That I'm okay with. I like that.
That made sense.
I like
to
your
us.
Logic.
So we're like, so, okay.
So we're like, you know, like sometimes at an airport, an Uber driver will be like, I'm picking you up at drop offs. Because if I pick you up at arrivals, I would pay an airport tax or something, they'll get me. So I like that. Okay, you're trying to save $2 on your thing. Fine. So we start going. And then he starts driving away from the area we were. And I was like, perfect.
Right.
We're getting the fuck.
We got to stop. Just pause it.
Sorry, Robert. No, I want to record it. We got to stand.
We got to stop for color.
They play.
We'll watch for
everybody
else.
They play the full song.
Okay. Yeah.
So, he starts driving away from the area we were, and I was like, "Perfect, we're going away from the people who know us. Like, this is great." And somehow he does a loop, and he pulls into the gas station we just passed with a wall full of people staring at us.
And now Patrick is finally at the panic where I'm at. Finally, and now he's finally reached my level, which I actually found some comfort in. I'm like, finally, you fear for your life now too.
And this is a small car, and my strategy is just to sit up real high in it so that we're kind of like. You can't see through the window exactly who we are or whatever. But we're both grasping backpacks. We just look like terrified. And now there's like guys on motorcycles texting, looking at us and texting. And this is like the scene where you're like four motorcycles ride up to your car, do whatever the fuck they want. And if you're on a motorcycle, you can get the fuck away.
And I totally didn't put on my Uzi repellent spray before I left.
And I'm like, what are we doing? And he's like, I just got to get some gas real quick. And I look at his meter and it says E. So I go like, all right, maybe. But fuck, I go, dude, we're in a hurry. So he gets out, and then
Patrick is rushing him the whole time. Like, come on, man, we got to go, we got to go, we got
to
go.
Which probably wasn't smart to do again. But, again, we found this guy randomly, so at least there's that. And he put his phone away immediately, so he wasn't getting updates.
Yeah, he wasn't updating anybody on your position.
But then he comes back to the car, and he goes,
they had a white Amber Alert out for us. Like, two white money bags walking down the street.
He goes,
an ivory alert.
600 pounds in total.
He goes, do you have any money for gas? This is a cab driver. Mm-hmm. And I go, I'll give you 500 now. I'm not going to give you the whole, like, here's 500, pump gas. He goes to the back. I didn't hear gas pump or shit happen.
Nothing.
Within a minute, he comes back, the car gets in, cranks it. The needle doesn't move. And I go, did you get gas? And he's like, yeah, we're good. We go. And I go, then it still says empty. And he's like, oh, that's broken. And now I'm like, oh, fuck. So now everybody's aware of us again.
Yeah.
And we're being stared at.
When I'm watching where we're driving, he pulls out, and I'm like, okay, we're headed the right way, because I see the park, and I know this. And Patrick's like, I don't think he's taking us the right way. I was like, no.
I wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure.
I kept, like, a good thing in my mind about where we were driving.
Yeah, and then we see things that we saw.
I'm always pointing, like, in my head, I'm like, all right, the airport's that way. The airport's that way. And now we're here. The airport's that way.
And we did see stuff that we'd passed, and we were like, cool. He got on the highway. We're going back to the airport. We wasn't driving on small roads and shit. So at this point, we're convinced we do have a legit cab driver. We are headed to the airport. We're kind of breathing easy. I've never seen security at an airport like this. So that when you get to the gate, like if you get to the opening of the airport,
well,
like
what point when you got to the airport were you finally like?
I mean, we were fine. I think
yeah,
once we realized
as soon as
we were
I realized,
to the airport.
Like, there's a long road that takes you to Nairobi. Okay. That's like it takes like 15 minutes on that road. And as soon as we were there, I was like,
we knew we were going to the airport, we were cool. Like we saw planes. Yeah, and stuff, yeah, yeah. Like, so
I was playing
the
MASH music in my head, and I felt so good.
But then he pulled up almost like we've done on some bases where. He pulls up, and it's like it's almost like the entrance to like an amusement park. The big arch says Kenyan or Nairobi Airport, and then all these like toll booths, so you have to pay to get into the airport. And he's like, "Okay, you guys get out now and go over to that building. You have to get screened and your bag is checked." This is like, and then he pulls the car, and the car gets searched, and then he meets us on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So we get out, we walk, and everybody's doing it, so we're like, "Okay."
Yeah.
So we get out, we walk through, our bags get screened. My bag is full of liquids and electronics, no questions. I walk through the metal detector, it buzzes like a motherfucker. Sure, go ahead.
It just lets us right through. They're
buzzes,
not checking
his
anything.
His buzzes twice, and they still let him go. And so we're like, okay, that was a pointless check that stopped nothing from anyone. Yeah. So then we go out, we go get back in the car. We're like, where the fuck is that? He's like, So we get to the terminal, we get out. Then we're just walking into the ticket area, like wherever you wanted to go up to a ticket hour, ticket desk, check in, check a bag. There's another security screening. Like, I've never seen one that early. Like, the minute you walk in the door
before
of the
you get a boarding pass, you have to go through another security checkpoint.
So we scan our bags, shoes off, belt off, all that shit again. Go through. Then we get to security. Now you have to do it all again. This is where the normal security would be with the passport and everything. So then we do that.
We're at the third point now. But now we realize we still got, like, what, like 3 hours before
now,
the plane
Eric
leaves.
Has an MRE that has set off the scanner at this one.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't like the MRE I was bringing in. And I was just like, it's food. It's cool.
For the civilians out there, it's a meal ready to eat. It's an Army packaged meal. And I think what set it off is there's, like, a heating element in some of them.
You
so
add
you can
water.
Kind of cook it right away, portable. And he just looks at him and goes, no, it's military. It's a thing. And they're just like, okay, go.
Yeah.
By the way, the second scanner, the one when you first walk in the airport.
That's it. Sorry, they played Colors, which is when they are retiring the flag for the evening. So everyone, if you're outside,
the whole base comes to a standstill.
Remove your hat, you stand at attention, and you face the flag.
It's very weird. That's very cultish. Like, when you see everybody do it, it's kind of like, what are we all doing? This is how they program us. We're downloading an update. We all look at the antenna, and we get our orders.
We looked at Mecca.
It wasn't weird until everybody started pointing at you when I wasn't doing it. You're like,
the woman running that second checkpoint when you first walk in the airport, one person running the scanner, the metal detector, and like searching people's bags that were suspicious. She opened a package this guy had at the end of the belt. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And she was like going through the package and he had something he wasn't supposed to have and she was talking to him about it. Meanwhile, our bags are going through. No one's even looking at the screen.
What about the guy that's bringing in like 40 pounds of produce in the other line? He's just like, he had just like barrels of fucking fruits and vegetables.
I am not shitting
you. Trying to bring in.
No one looked at the screen for our bags on this. This is two checkpoints now that were useless.
Nice.
Again, I had liquids and shit in my bag. Like, it was fine. So we go through that.
Yeah.
Then we're in the airport, and we eventually meet up with you. We get some food and
well, we went
shit.
Through, but we went through another checkpoint just to get to a smoking area.
Yeah. we went through a checkpoint from gate 14 to 15, and there was a security checkpoint between them. It's like, what? Gate 15's not secure? Gate 14's secure? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It was a very weird fucking thing to
Meanwhile, Rob and I, we went in. We looked at all the lounges. They let you go in and take a look.
Yeah.
The closest lounge that was Emirates Lounge. You
Which
could
is really
go
nice.
In. Yeah, it was like $70 or $60. But they had a full buffet with like fried foods and drinks and stuff. We ended up going in one that the woman said that it was $27 until 4 o'clock, and after 4 o'clock until midnight, it was $30. So like they would have kicked you out and recharged you. So
you waited.
We waited too. We just killed 2 hours, went in. They had food.
By the way, in America, if you went in that lounge at 4:30 and they tried to kick you out at 3:30 and they tried to kick you out at 4, you'd make a stink and you'd never kicked out. But there,
I'd like to speak to a manager.
Yeah, I'm a white person.
So we just we were in there, took a nap, played some video games.
Yeah,
ate,
but did you
drank
almost get
fill?
Killed seven
no,
times?
Did
yeah.
not.
Who won that?
Are you glad you did it?
No, I'm happy I went out and did it.
Was cool.
It's a great story.
That's
it's
great.
A great story. I'm glad I have my kidneys.
I would not have enjoyed myself.
I'm glad.
During.
I'm glad I have.
I think with
a story
all of us there,
the rest of
it would have been
life.
Way more
no,
chill.
I'm more. I those sort of situations. I'm. More, I have a weird fear.
Tommy,
fight or flight response.
I could not stop thinking of how Tommy would be going fucking insane
yeah,
the entire
yeah,
time. He
been,
wouldn't be able to handle.
I would
any
have been
of this.
Like actively handling
yeah.
a bottle.
I'm either yeah. super ignorant or just way more capable.
What? Like I said, high school was not a fun experience. In inner city, I was one of three white kids in inner
right.
city school, and it was. I made it out of high school. I didn't graduate. I made it out.
Well, I told you, like, my high school was 60% black. I think my sense of humor, aside from my father, comes from learning to make black girls in school laugh so they didn't beat my ass. Because
yeah.
then they just became like, oh, that boy crazy.
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
and left me alone.
Well, the people that got to know me, they thought I was funny. But then anybody else, I was always the skinny white kid, and they would want to push me, and I would, oh God.
Then we only had
even hearing your story, I'm like I'm
nine more hours. And then we had 9 or 7 more hours till we got to Djibouti, and then we got treated like criminals. And then I've never been yelled at for doing something that yelled at to do something that I was already doing.
Yeah,
wait, you wait here one by one. I go, you can't wait one by one. That
yeah.
doesn't.
He was just
they
like,
were
come over
in
to
line.
This line.
He was like, make a new line.
He has yeah. our paper.
I don't like this line.
He made us make a new line consisting of the same people yeah. who were in the original line. He's like, you're waiting wrong.
yeah.
Which and we had to take malaria pills here in Djibouti.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I lost my spleen at the age of 23. And the only thing the doctor told me was. Don't get malaria. And at 23, I'm like, I'm not fucking going to Africa. And then here I am in Africa where I got to take malaria. And I'm kind of freaking out. And I was talking to you guys about in line, and this guy in front of us in line is like, malaria's fine. I've had it 15 times.
he's Ric Flair of getting malaria. 15-time malaria champion.
Ric Flair.
He's on the toilet shitting his brains out. Woo!
But we've had a really good time. For people who don't know, on my show, what we've done, you guys have probably talked about it way more since you're all friends and together. But we're doing a comedy murder mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's exactly what you think, like when you have these murder mystery dinner theater things. But ours is something you would see in a comedy club, not a real restaurant
yeah.
or something. And it Rob and Joe of the Rob and Joe Show, which my fans will know from Dan Ninen, from the Comedy Central thing Rob and I did back in 2013. Like, these guys have really, like, kicked ass at this. They've developed this formula. I think they've done, like, 8 of them now.
Yeah.
yeah.
You guys are a part of all
eight
of them.
8 different murder mysteries.
Yeah, and you guys do them at comedy clubs. Some are seasonal, some mm-hmm. are just whatever. And it's killing. Like, they're making a killing on it. And it's funny because it's half improv, it's half... And if you have really good comedians who can be funny on the fly...
Yeah.
I see how it really works.
Yeah, like, me and Tommy have built up a good rapport because this is the most time you've ever done the lead role. Because
yeah.
back home, we usually use Justin Schley.
Yeah, who is so quick.
Who's fucking
who great.
Whose mind is like a pistol
yeah.
out
don't
there.
Don't sell yourself short.
And then,
I think it's been really good.
Been doing all right.
Tommy's done awesome, man. And then me and him have gotten a little bit of rapport during the ending where we get to question. We do the
good
big
cop,
reveal.
Bad cop.
And I played bad cop in this one, which I'm not a cop throughout
so
the
it's,
anything.
It's basically the theme of what it is like there's a singing contest akin to American Idol. Someone gets killed during the finale, and everybody has to try to figure out who it is. It's something very different than mm-hmm. what these bases normally yeah. get. And we actually heard that there was another murder mystery that came through a couple weeks ago.
The Navy did.
And ours is way better.
And they said that one sucked ass.
Yeah. Well, we've also done stand-up shows. We're getting actually ready in about an hour and a half to do another stand-up show.
I wouldn't mind eating before.
Here, we should go. It's Taco Tuesday here. Some of the most authentic tacos you'll ever have here in Africa, I think.
This is the second largest mess hall.
DFAC, yeah.
Yeah, in the Navy. And the food has been really good.
DFACs of life.
Second largest overseas.
Yeah.
But it's been really great. The stand-up shows have gone fucking great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Murder mysteries are going great. We've hit a great groove. I think last night was really fucking.
Yeah,
except
really
for some
time.
Cuck who fucking complained.
God.
But we won't get into
Sky
that because we want to come.
Yeah,
we want to come back
of the Air Force.
Yeah, we'll wait a couple little while.
Apparently,
before we'll
I just can't prance around in my underpants because
like
people who murder
sees.
People for the government
we
can't
have,
handle a little bit of male leg.
Yeah, or we could just do it now.
I'm kind of like saying, like,
we definitely have some stories that we can tell in the coming weeks and months as they wear off. We can be more vague about where they were.
They're
kind of
antsy about even when
doing this podcast. That's why Jeff came.
When Jeff came,
yeah,
he was just to make sure that we weren't like, and the missiles are located here.
Yeah, but we've seen some cool stuff.
Well, we did five bases in Kuwait, and we were at one AJAB. And we were telling them that there was one base that we're not allowed to go to, or they didn't book us, and it's called As-Salim. And they said, they were like, well, yeah, well, As-Salim is usually just where they, where the army will come in.
Transient base.
Yeah, and then they move them out to forward deployment from there. And I was like, well, what's the problem with that? And he goes, well, the army guys fuck up the base. And I was like, well, how do they fuck up the base? He was like, they've been shitting in the urinals. Man, that's pretty beast. You're just shitting in a urinal.
That's a power move.
I can't even, like, just,
shitting in a urinal is such a power move.
You're only doing that to entertain other people.
Yeah.
Well, there's no, like,
get it? I shit in this urinal.
It can't be a comfort thing. Like, there's no way to sit comfortably on a urinal or squat.
No, you're squatting.
I'd have to do it in the children so it's lower and it just free falls in.
So, but then we were told by that, they said at AJAB, they're like, oh, well, we have an email that's been going around that apparently the women have been shitting in the showers. And that's fucking beast.
Well, we met some guys from As-Salim. We went and watched the football
game.
The playoff game, the NFC playoff game. AFC playoff game.
Yeah.
Jaguars and Patriots on a rooftop in Kuwait. This was dope. We met a local chick there named Dee Dee.
Yeah. Shout out to Dee Dee.
She doesn't think we can pronounce her name, but it's
Dee Dee.
Yeah, it's
Manolo. Anyway,
it's M-A-N-A-L. It's
Manal.
Manal.
This chick was dope though. Like she was Americanized
as
fuck.
Yeah.
She actually got us some liquor.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
She was driving. Yeah.
She was driving. She's a woman driving in Kuwait, which is kind of new.
She was driving us. We were drinking liquor while we were on the
Kuwait's
road.
Kuwait's a dry country. None of these bases were allowed to have alcohol. I haven't, Tommy and I are weed heads. We haven't had weed in 2 weeks.
I'm going to be such a lightweight when I get back.
And then, she took us to this $30 all-you-can-eat rooftop. We watched the AFC Championship game. We met these guys from As-Salim. When you told them the people shitting in the urinal story, they went like, that is happening.
At first they were like, oh, what, you're not coming? And they were like, no, people shit in your urinals. He was like, yeah.
True that.
It is hard to find a urinal to piss in that's not clogged up with shit.
We're basically up to our necks and shit.
Every time I go to the urinal, I got to sit there and chop up the log that's in there with my pee stream until it goes down the little holes.
It's been a very weird thing for us. Like on these bases, some of these bases, our privileges extend far beyond any of the military. Like, especially when it comes to alcohol, we've not been rationed like all the other personnel have. Like, there's like high-ranking people who can't have as many drinks as we can.
We got permission to turn up.
We got turned out.
But everyone's really appreciated. We get
the shows have been great.
Thanking us for coming out, to which we always respond, you're right, we're the real heroes.
We are.
Such a good joke.
We've gotten some plaques. Appreciation awards.
Plaques.
They're up in my room right now.
Patches.
Displayed.
Patches.
I got
challenge
a badass
coin. This scorpion thing you got.
I got a challenge coin.
It's not even a coin. It's a fucking metal.
It's just a bottle opener.
It's badass.
We got to do a gun simulator against like digital Taliban. That was awesome.
We got to see bombs. We got to see missiles.
We got to see sign bombs.
Sign bombs.
Yeah.
I've been stickering everything in my sight with. There are now nobody likes onion stickers in. on two continents on a million bases.
We got to see, today we got to see a guy get attacked
Kenya.
By a dog.
I didn't sticker anywhere in Kenya. How did I miss that?
Well, you're probably fearing for your life.
No shit. I should have just stickered everyone who came up to us trying to sell us
the whole threat of human trafficking, I think.
We're going to get a
just
dick
puts
Africa.
Hey, sometimes we like to pretend we're from South Africa, where we get a dick sucked in South Africa. Hello there. You're from South Africa as well. Got
also,
a couple of t-shirts. My friend Yolandi.
So every one of these bases, we meet with the top brass. We meet with the commanding officer on the base. We meet with all the COs, the XOs, mm-hmm. the CTCs or whatever they call. Like the top brass. We're in a room with them, and then all the underlings. Sometimes it's just them. But all the underlings, and we're just snapping off to them, so sarcastic, calling them nerds.
Yeah.
And they love the under guys love it because they could never talk to them like that. Like, we're kings on these bases.
Yeah, we come to the base, and it's basically like you're meeting the guy who owns
the
company that you are a part of.
Yeah.
And they, they're so, and then
it's
most,
so good.
Hey, for you women listening, I'd say it's been equal where the top brass have been,
and the women are
has
almost
been a woman.
Yeah,
have
lots of women
cooler.
Commanders.
Yeah, yeah.
The women commanding officers who have come out to the shows have loved it.
I just got bit by a mosquito.
Uh-oh.
I have super malaria.
Hello, malaria, Pete.
It's been really fun. I think we're going to try to do another one of these afterwards, but we're going to go eat Taco Tuesday right now.
Yeah.
And re-scrub, because it's kind of warm here.
Right now it feels great.
Yeah, now it feels great now.
Fucking awesome.
But my balls, ugh.
How many times have you wiped yourself down for courtesy?
At least twice a day. Like, I'll shower in the morning. I'll shower. I'm probably not going to shower before the show, just to give a wipe.
How's your dog?
Pickle is good, I guess. My dog, Pickle, is 4 months old. She's half Maltese, half Chihuahua. She's a rescue. So we're the real heroes. But no, she...
Adopt, don't shop.
Have a Furbo. I heard about this thing. It's a remote camera system. You can look at your dog from anywhere on a webcam.
Yeah,
you
and I give her treats.
Her,
I can talk to
and
her.
And it'll fling treat. Like, there's some kind of, like, projectile launcher.
Yeah, it just has a little flicker in it. You just fill it with treats. And depending on what type of treat, sometimes just a buckshot
spray. Did you get
spray.
It for you or for the dog?
It's for me. I wanted to look at my dog. Well, when we first got the dog, God, I love that fucking dog.
Why?
What? I
but
don't know.
It's so new.
Stop loving things.
You miss the dog more than you miss your chick.
She's not going to hear this, so yes.
I mean, that's
100%, yes. I have to keep saying I miss both of you, but in my head I'm like, I miss that fucking dog.
If you and Lou were ever to break up and there was a custody battle, would that be... I mean, yeah, you, of course, you'd want, but, I mean, how much would that break you apart? Would you get a lawyer involved?
If it came to it, if she was taking the dog just to spite me, I'd be like, oh, I will see you in court, madam.
We didn't finish the Kuwait story real quick. On the way to that game... The chick, Dee Dee, so she's driving us. She has a giant SUV. She's driving us around. She wanted to take us on a tour, but we were never up early enough, and our days were pretty much planned by the military all day. But she had procured in this dry country a bottle of $200 vodka, which was just Tesco vodka.
Yeah,
from
it
the
wasn't
UK.
A good vodka.
It was store vodka.
It was in a plastic bottle, so you know it's good.
Yeah.
After we got the cap off, which took 1,900 hours.
It took longer than was masculinely appropriate.
And... But then now we're flying down a highway in Kuwait where there are, like, just cop car checks on the side of the road.
Yeah.
We swigged a whole bottle of vodka between the five of us. So now we're shit-faced. A woman's driving, headed out to a rooftop in Kuwait where we had Papa John's pizza with beef pepperoni.
Yeah. If someone passing a joint around, that but we're basically supervillains at that point.
Yeah, I mean,
we've broken every high roll.
You would never speed down a highway in America, swigging vodka.
No,
out
with
of
a woman driving.
Do you ever think that, like, Friday the 13th must be, like, the most popular movie in Kuwait? Because Jason's got to be a superhero to these people. He kills people that that fornicate.
Premarital sex.
And do
drinking.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, they're like, oh, Jason Voorhees, hero of Kuwait. Yeah.
He's one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been great. And I'm sure we'll all tell stories when we get back to our own podcast. Hopefully we can do a little bit more later because I think there's a lot we should do together. But we're out. You want to plug? You guys
yeah, guys, if you want to hear us playing Dungeons & Dragons, it's laughfinderpod.com, and that's it. At laughfinderpod on Twitter, laughfinderpod on Facebook.
Yeah, and this is Eric with the Quality Time Podcast. Kim Ambrose, Jeremy Woodworth, and myself. Horror, all things pulp. We go over it. It's pretty good. The newest episode is out right now. It's Bad Taste, 1987. We break down the Peter Jackson classic, Bad Taste. It's pretty good. I just listened to it. Kim had some revelations. But yeah, Stitcher, and iTunes.
And mine is Nobody Likes Onions, at NLO on Twitter and Facebook. You can find our
Patrick,
group and
we,
stuff.
If we don't,
and we had never met you guys.
No. And it's been a pleasure, bud.
And it's been fucking
You're a real
great.
Funny
I hope
guy.
You guys
You're
had a good time. Guy. I hope I wasn't too annoying.
No, not too.
I did ask for water once.
How dare you?
He asked for water on the...
We
shit
on him so
shit
bad.
On him so hard for asking for life-giving sustenance.
I asked for water, and they all treated me like I was a fucking asshole.
He didn't talk for the rest of the time at the airport.
Well, that was most of the concern, my voice, because my voice was gone at the point. But I was just like, all right, I guess we'll... I asked the MWR escort for water, and he told me to suck his balls and dick.
Yeah,
he basically...
And we think that's the guy that reported us.
We gotta go. We've said too much. Dorfman! Bye!
Bye!
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like...